Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today in desperate need of your presence, your appointing, your help, and your guidance. God, we need our daily bread today. So, Father, we ask that you speak through us today. Lord, matters not who we are. All that matters is, Lord, that you use us as your instrument. Father, that your word may go forth. And God, that's all we ask of you today. Use us for your divine glory and your honor. And may it all be yours today. We ask, God, give us the words to say. And Lord, the discretion to say things, not to say things that doesn't need said. So, Father, grant that unto us for your glory. And feed us, Father, from your wonderful word. You are the Anointed One. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ has given the parable of the sower here at this time. And if you know the context of this parable, then it is understandable and in great context of what our Lord has to say next. And this parable is not our message today, but what our Lord had to say about this parable and about the other parables. But it is such a wide subject. But our intention today is, with God's help, to keep in context this phrase. But when you talk about what God has given us today, where do you start? When you talk about what God has done for us, what God has given us, just in this day today, where do you start? God's grace is wonderful. His saving grace. We live and move and have our being, the apostle said, by the merciful grace of God. We have here in this ninth verse, and if you'll follow with me there in Matthew, if you have your Bibles open, to chapter 13. And again, may God use us today for His glory. Verse 9 says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." He that hath an ear. How many times in Scripture do we read that term, that phrase, "He that hath an ear, let him hear"? In Revelation it says, "What the Spirit saith unto the churches." Well, today Christ is speaking here to the believers and to the church. Now, there is a mixed multitude, and there is here Christ speaking these parables to great multitudes. But when the disciples ask, "Lord, why do you speak to them in parables?" He gives them this great insight of why things are. Things that they already know, but many times things we need to be reminded of. Things we need to know on a daily basis. Things we need to know about God and to remember what God is. God set many memorials in the Old Testament with the children of Israel that they might remember and that they might teach their children and their children's children and all their generations about the things of the Lord, what God has done for them. I still need reminding today how good God is to me. I still need reminding today the things that God has given me. I still need to know today that all things that I have come from a sovereign God. I need to know today that God is the giver of all things. And He loves to give His children good gifts. He tells the disciples here, we read there in verse 10, "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them," and I hope today that I can convey to you in a proper time the things that's on my heart about what Christ spoke here. For Christ certainly has spoken to my heart of these things when He tells the disciples in verse 11, "Because." Here's the reason for the parables. The parables do two things. They reveal and they conceal. Here they reveal to the disciples and those that believe on God. And certainly they conceal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, many of the parables are considered to be called the kingdom parables. Parables concerning the things of God and what the kingdom of heaven is. And the relationship, things that we can relate to the kingdom. Or God defining to us in a greater matter of physical things that we can apply to our spirit and speak to our heart and to our spirit what the kingdom of heaven really is. In our finite ways, God speaks with His Spirit humbly through His grace and reveals these things unto us because it is given of God and pleases Him to do so. Yeah. And folks, without this revelation, without it be given to us by God, we would not know these things. Now, folks, you can read the Scripture all you want to, and you can study the Scripture all you want to, but until they are spiritually discerned from God-given grace and God's faith given to us, we cannot obtain them. We cannot obtain them unless God graciously illuminates them to our hearts. He tells here in this verse 11 to the disciples, because it is given. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. If you look there, the same book, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. You flip back if you'd like there. Take you just a moment to flip back a couple of chapters. In chapter 11, verse 25, Scripture has this to say, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. I don't mind today being called a child of God. I don't mind today being under the grace and mercy of Almighty God and being called His child. I'm not ashamed today to be called a servant of the Most High God, because my brother today, my elder brother, Jesus Christ, says, I call you not servants, but friends. Because a servant knoweth not what his master does. But Christ said He came to reveal to us all that the Father has and wills for our lives. Amen. So today we are the friend of God. We are, yes, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But folks, I'm a servant of God today, and I'm not ashamed to proclaim it. And I'm thankful today that God has revealed such things as He has to me. For the small knowledge that I have, I'm thankful that God gave it to me. Because had He not given it to me today, I'd still be without the illumination of the Spirit of God in my life. I'd still be without this great regeneration in my life. For folks, it's not of merit. It's not of anything that we can do today to deserve. And certainly, we haven't earned anything of our own. But it has been given to us by God. And that's what Christ is really saying here. Not just the understanding of this parable, but all that this parable and these other parables are saying. Because it is given to us by God. He says there that He has hidden these things. In that verse 25, chapter 11, He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Many people want to wonder and ask questions that the Bible doesn't reveal to us. And I ponder many of these things often. But you know, there's just some things that belong to God and it doesn't tell us why. But I can tell you why this verse. Because it pleased God. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you something about pleasing my Father today. When it pleases Him, there is no other hindrance. When it pleases my God today, there's no one else that can stay the hand of Almighty God. Daniel said, Daniel 4, verse 35. No one can stay the hand of God. And Christ says here, so it pleased the Father. And as it pleases the Father, and is seen good in His sight, verse 27 says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knoweth Christ but by the Father, through the Father. And then likewise, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Folks, if you've got one, you've got the other one. This single verse here, along with many other, and not that one needs the other, but we have all these Scriptures, not Unitarianism in the head altogether. You cannot have one without the other. You say, well, Christ told the Pharisees, you don't know the Father. Now, Christ could do this, remember? He's God. He called them what they were, hypocrites, serpents, vipers. He called them those things, and justifiably so. He being God knew their every heart and intent of their heart before they ever thought their thoughts. According to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue. Where is it from? It's from the Lord. So God, knowing their hearts, revealed to them who they are. But He says here He's hidden these things from the wise and prudent. You say, well, why would God do these things? It's pleasing in His sight. Paul taught in the Corinthian letter that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to bring to naught the wisdom of the world, or what the world considers to be wisdom. Now, taking it in context, not that it is biblical wisdom, for it is not, but in their own wisdom and their own prudence that God brings it to naught. So He says then, He and to whomsoever the Son, the last part of verse 27, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. To whom he will give him. To whom God blesses with his presence. To whom God gives faith. Ephesians 2 and 9. To whom God gives and shows mercy. For God will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. The verse in John, St. John chapter 5, 21 says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Why is this? He said he come not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. Yes. Folks, I'm excited today because the God of Scripture is my Father. Because this Scripture tells me that he's above all these other gods that are rising in our country and in our world today. I don't care how much these other religions grow, God's always been here.
Amen.
Before they were, God has always been. And you know what? He hasn't changed one bit. I like what you wrote on your bulletin there, brother. God hasn't changed one bit. He's never for a moment ceased to be God. He's still revealing himself to the children of God as pleases him in the day in which we live. Aren't you thankful today that God is still saving sinners from their sins? People such as myself, that God has taken a wretched sinner. But you know, we're talking about this in church last night. First, we've got to recognize and know that we are a sinner. We've got to know that we need a Lord, not a Savior. Everyone wants some type of Savior to save them from something, but not all will bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Many will accept a Savior, in fact, but not a Lord. But if, friend, if he's not Lord and Savior of all, he's not Lord at all. He's not Lord at all. Back to Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Still on the thought of it is given. Folks, if I can convey to you today the blessedness of what God has given us. No greater love is a man that he lay down his life for anyone, for a friend, for a neighbor. But what about your enemy today? Because when we were the enemies of God, haters of his word and transgressors, God gave his best. He gave himself. He gave his only begotten Son that it might be given unto us that we might have today. Folks, we're not here by chance. We're not here today because it's just something to do. You're here today because it's given to you by God Almighty to have even the desire in your heart together with God's people and be a true worshiper of the only true and living God. It's given to us by God. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Folks, there's only one of those. There's only one of those. The only religion that even has the claim that their God gave his life for them, and he still lives and reigns today.
Amen.
Unlike any other religion. The verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Christ was given to us by the Father. It has been given to us today by God of his mercy and his grace. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Well, folks, the glory is all God's. But we are God's glory if we are obedient children of his. It is for his glory. A lot of folks have today got the idea that all this is about man. Religion I'm talking about. That it's about man. It's not about man at all. True religion, that is. But it's all about the Father. And we are but the recipients of his love and his mercy. It's given unto us. And folks, if it's not given of God, then you don't have it today. If it's not given of God, there's no salvation. If it's not given of God, there's no faith. If it's not given of God, there's no discerning the Scriptures. If it's not given of God, there's no knowing God, who He is, nor His Son, of whom He gave for a sacrifice and atonement for sin. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." For the latter part of that, verse 11 says, "Because it is given," He said to the disciples, and I'm back in chapter 13, "because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given." A great mystery today. People would ask today, why would you have a pastor's conference on Thursday in the middle of the day? Why would you take your time? Why would you take off work? Why would you stop doing the things that you're doing today? They don't understand the things of God. And neither can they, because they are fleshly and carnal and worldly minded. But we know today. And someone looked at me funny. So, taking a day off tomorrow? Going to do this? Going to do that? No, I'm going to preach and hear the Word of God preached. You get some strange looks when you tell folks that. They don't understand, folks, because it's not given of them by God to know and to understand the things of God. Not just some things, but to understand all the things of God. It's not that they have part knowledge, some knowledge, any intellect of God. Sure, they have intellect, some do, that have read Scripture. But that's as far as it goes, not being spiritually discerned. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Because it's not given unto them from the Father. So see, folks, that's where we'd be. Folks, that's where we'd be today without the grace of God had it not been given to us to know these great mysteries of God. You say, well, God has given to us and we know and understand and we grow in grace, and these things that we did not know that was once a mystery, the things that the Scripture says that God has hidden from the beginning of the world, God reveals them unto us. And be thankful for that today, child of God. For the sinner today still does not know and does not understand these things. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery," as I wrote afore in few words, "whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." You will talk about a lot of things today. You bring up almost any conversation you want to, and people will join right in the conversation. But you start a conversation in town at the grocery store. You try to start a conversation in the workplace, down at the barbershop maybe. Or sadly to say, sometimes in some of our churches, try to start a conversation about the grace and mercy of Almighty God. And folks, that's where a lot of swift talking people will become silent. I know the Bible says be swift to hear and slow to speak. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, be swift to hear the Word of God. But be ready at the open door that God gives to share Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm just tired of people shutting the door in our faces. Maybe the next one that God has given unto them to hear the Word of God. Maybe the very one, it may be our loved one. We don't know. Maybe our neighbor or someone in the church's loved one that we've prayed for so long, that God may just be about to regenerate their life. Give them illumination in the Spirit, washing them in the washing of regeneration, and bringing them to a livelihood in the Word of God. Giving to them His grace and His mercy. Folks, I just can't convey to you today what this phrase has meant to me. To you, it is given. It's been given to us today by God. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." But you know, the Bible calls this a great, because to all the world, it is a great mystery. But it says here, "I'll not have you ignorant concerning these things, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." So there is the wisdom of the world. They're wise in their own conceits, but they don't know the mysteries of God. Isn't it just the nature of man to want to figure out a mystery? A lot of people read novels, and I'm not speaking against those things, but it's just in. But why will they not seek the right place? It seems like even sometimes they're seeking the right thing, they're looking in the wrong place for it. They want these things through a worldly lust and covetousness. Folks, they're looking in the wrong places. And they're going about it all wrong. Fact is, they can't do anything about it until God gives them His faith and His mercy. Until God, again, God gives it to them. He says, "I'll not have you ignorant, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." I'm talking to a much knowledgeable crowd today than myself. We understand and know the sovereignty of God and how true it is and how bold we should preach the Word of God lovingly with humility. The fact is today, when folks stand before God and judge them, it'll be that same sovereign God that will judge them in their disobedience and in their transgressions of the Word of God. They are as equally as God is sovereign. Man is as equally responsible to the Word of God and come to a saving knowledge of grace. But folks, aren't you thankful then? Knowing these things should make us more thankful. Amen. That we know these things because we know it is given to us by God. No evangelist gave it to us. No preacher. No congregation. No study in a book. Not even the reading of His Word. That's how we hear often. But it's given to us by the merciful grace of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You think the world understands that? No. But friend, you gather around by the bedside of some dear soul that loves God, that God has given His grace, and you'll find out what the Scripture's talking about when it says, "O death, where is thy sting?" Folks, it's given by God. I've had the privilege and opportunity to stand by a few children of God as they drew their last breath and saw how God gave that special grace at the very time that they needed in their lives. Folks, there's no need in fearing death today. One of the most horrible things I've ever feared in my life as a young man was death. But you know what? God gave me His mercy and His grace over these things. I don't fear death anymore. Why? Because that's the passing from here to the presence of God Himself. That's how I'm going to get from here to glory if I'm not alive when Christ returns. Folks, you think the world understands these things? You think the world is looking for Christ today? Who is He coming after? Those that are looking and waiting for His return. Those that has been given to them by the merciful grace of Almighty God. But death, certainly, and thank God, it's given to us that it is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed. It's abolished. It's made void. It's taken away. The sting of death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because God gave it to us. He gave us His Spirit. Somebody that has experience with death, you know. God's good at that. Christ died, and at the third day, He rose again.
Amen.
So death being swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Now listen to this. And the strength of sin is the law. The law of God tells us what sin is. How do we know what sin is? But by the Word of God. By His law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. The world understand that. Why don't you just keep going on? Why do you keep going on when people shut the door in your face? When they reject Christ? When they reject your witness? When they reject you as a Christian and persecute you? And say all manner of evil against you? And you can pray for those folks? We ought. We're commanded to. Why? Because it's given to us by God.
Amen.
To understand these mysteries. Why would we do these things? The world doesn't understand these things. And until God brings grace in their life, some of these things they'll never understand why you do them and why God does them. Certainly not having a spiritual awareness of God. But we can take hope. The sinner can't. But the believer can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because that also has been given to us by God. Ephesians 6:19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You say, "Well, then how are we going to make it known to others, this precious mystery that God is revealing to us?" And I believe this is a progressive revealing as we grow in grace, as we are babes in Christ every generation, that as we grow, because something now where we were dead now is alive within us, and where there is a living organism, it grows. And it's nurtured by God, given by God. Matter of fact, God has taken over this tabernacle. So it is God in us. It's not us in God today, but it is God in us that has given us these things. God has given us Himself. So we might preach the gospel. You say, "Well, then how do we do it?" We don't do it. We just preach it, brother. We just preach it, man. Preachers, we just preach the Word of God. It brought comfort to me in my preaching. And I stopped struggling with so many things when I realized that if I would just seek the Lord and preach His Word and not vary from it, preach His Word and His Word alone, God gives the increase.
Amen.
It is up to God to give today. And without God giving it, folks, there's nothing that I can do to cause that. But if God gives the increase today, then praise be the name of our God, for He's glorious. And His grace certainly is sufficient. But that we open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. When folks doesn't receive this, what does the Bible say? Keep boldly preaching the gospel and this great mystery of Christ. Because the very next one that we speak to, maybe one in the congregation, maybe one we meet in the street, that if when we share the gospel of Christ, that God may give to them. You say, "Well, He may do it." He has, hasn't He? And He will continue to do so. God saving His children. Colossians 1:25-27, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now," now listen to this, "but now He is made manifest to His saints." Who is the mystery made manifest to? Because it is given to them, as He told the disciples here concerning the parable and all things concerning God. It's given to us by God now that we know these things. And then certainly in context, He's speaking of the revelation, manifestation of God in man, Jesus Christ. Jesus and the Christ. Same one, same God, same man. 100% man, 100% God at all times. His ministry on this earth never ceased to be God. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Heaven here on earth. People talk about heaven on earth. There was 33 and a half years. Heaven on earth. There He was. He performed the things that God sent Him to do. Scripture says, well, the Scripture says, the Bible says that He didn't come to do His own will. That's right. That's what He said. Because He came to do the Father's will. Because He didn't have another will. But they too, three, are one. But to preach the gospel to the saints, God reveals Himself to us because He gives it to us by His mercy and grace. In verse 27, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now folks, that's where we come in today. When God gives to us. So I says, "Oh, well, God had to give to us. And God, you know, He's got to call every man once and all these things." Y'all know what to say. No. What did Job say? Job said, "God giveth account of none of His matters to man." God's not accountable to man.
Amen. That's right.
But man certainly is accountable to God.
Yes,
right. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, says, "holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." He said, "Well, how am I going to do that? Are there works after faith?" You better believe it. Now, they come after. But there are works, folks. Christ says, "My yoke is easy, my burden light." He didn't say there wasn't a yoke, that there wasn't a burden. But it's much lighter than the load that we could not carry before, that we were entrapped in, enslaved in, and there by our own volition also. We could not get out, and we did not want out. But God revealed something to us. He revealed to us how miserable we were, what shape we were in, and where we were headed. And all for His glory, give to us mercy, grace, love, compassion. And where are we today? We can hold steadfast the confidence that God has given unto us. And if this God's given unto us, and brother, if He hadn't changed, as we read there, and He hasn't, because His Word says He hasn't, then He's still holding to me today. And if He's still holding to me today, I've got confidence and I'm sure He's revealed to us and has told us He's going to be the same tomorrow. And if He doesn't change tomorrow, He's still going to be holding to me tomorrow. Therefore, we persevere because God perseveres.
Amen.
Certainly believe in the perseverance of the saints. Certainly not antinomy. By no means. But folks, we are doing all that we have because it's given to us in God. We can only do these things because it is given to us by God to perform these things. But don't worry about doing and not doing. God's not going to call you to do one thing that He can't equip you to do. Keep it perfectly? No, not all times. I confess I don't, but He provided a means for me. His Son, Jesus Christ. He commanded us not to sin, but when we sin, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ. And folks, right in the middle of verse 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, right in the middle of that great verse, where it says He won't put more on us than we're able to bear, it says God is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful. Why? Because He's given to us His faithfulness. It's His Word. It's His covenant. It's His promises that are in the Word of God. His name here as it is at stake. And He's given these things unto us for His glory. Now, folks, God will not shame His own name. He forbids us to do so, and He will not. It's for His glory and for His honor. So that verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now the Bible calls, in several places, calls the kingdom of heaven, our faith, all things about the kingdom and that God is, it calls it a great mystery. Even if the fact so many times the disciples had trouble understanding what God was talking about. But what did God do? He gave more grace. He kept giving more grace. When we don't understand, the Bible says, James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Sit around, and if God wants you to have it, He'll dump it out in your lap. No. Sit, ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's not going to look at you and say, well, you asked a foolish question, but I'll think about it and get back with you. No. Folks, if you're sincere and if you have studied to make yourself approved, if you've done what you're supposed, if you're seeking the will of God and you're sincere about the wisdom of God, He won't give you the wisdom of the world. Now, if you're praying for that, He may give it to you all right, but it may be in derision. But He may give it to you. Watch what you ask for. You just may get it. But if you lack the wisdom of God, God says ask of God. Ask of God. And seek wise counsel, certainly. I've done that many times. And I know some of you brethren, I've called on you before and asked you many questions. Call you up and say, what you doing? Well, how about this verse? I've done some of you that way. If I hadn't done you that way, look out, I probably will. But we are to do these things, to seek wise counsel. Who is our wise counsel? The one that has given it all to us. God's mercy and His grace. And it seems that the world is looking at all places today except the right place. But are they truly looking? No, not till God gives to them. He's not. Not till it is even given unto them to look to Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 20 and 21, and this is where we are today in the prudence and wisdom of the world. Why is it a mystery that the children of God love Him, desire to serve Him and live for Him? But you look what these verses say today about the wise and prudent of the world and why it's not given to them. You say, well, if sovereign God, He should give to them. That's God's good pleasure that He does. That's God's business. Are they responsible to God? You better believe. Look what this verse says. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Folks, you can speak of almost any God you want to today. You can use the word God pretty much all you want to because they'll relate that to their God. But if you want to ruffle feathers, if you want to cause trouble, if you want persecution, Mention the name of Jesus. Mention a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not this general religion that there's a God and people worship a general God. Mention that there's only one God.
Yes.
And there's salvation only to that God. And deliverance from our sins in this life to that God is only in Jesus Christ. You say, oh, well, that's not fair. And that's prejudice. And you're saying that's the monopoly on religion. And that's the only way to heaven. Certainly, friend, it's all true.
Amen.
Only one way to the throne of heaven today. And it's given by God. Given by God. First Corinthians chapter 2 in closing, if you'll follow along with me there. First Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, we fall from Scripture right there, don't we? Seems like we spend too much time today doing too many other things other than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Churches today spend great time and great effort and a lot of money doing a lot of things other than preaching Jesus Christ. And Paul says here, he said, I don't know nothing else among you but Jesus Christ. For nothing else matters, folks. We pray that God give to the churches today Jesus Christ. How has He chosen to do this? He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. So, well, why is it foolishness? It's not foolishness. No, it's not foolishness. But to the world, it's foolishness. And our feeble attempts is foolishness. But when God takes it as His blessing, His anointing, His illumination, and if God sends it forth, it will not, the prophet Isaiah says, return unto Him void. See, it all must be given of God. It must be given by God. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, had it been given to them, had they spiritually discerned and understood it, they would not have crucified our Lord. But it wasn't given them. Why? Because from before the foundation of the world, God had already ordained Christ to die on the cross for our sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. But had they known these things? But they didn't. Why? Because Christ goes on to say in that 11th verse, because unto them it is not given. You say, well, what's important about the doctrine of reprobation? That we recognize it and understand we would be the same had not God given us His mercy and His grace. We're no different than them. Only saved by God's amazing grace. It's been given to us by God Almighty Himself. Folks, we ought to be the first thing we do every day when God gives us a breath of life to breathe is to bow our unworthy head and thank God that He's given us Himself. Because He didn't have to do it. Oh, but through His love and mercy, He done it. He gave it to, when we were His enemy, when we hated Him, He sent His Son and died for us, that we might be redeemed as His people. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He's given it to us by His own power and Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how we know who God is. He reveals it to us by His own good pleasure.
That we understand the things of God here on this side of glory. Now folks, we sing an old song there at the house. Father alone, we'll know more about it. Now when I get to glory, I firmly believe God's going to reveal all things that I can't contain now about Himself. For more of His glory, that He might be, that we might be perfected in His glory, in the honor and praise that is due Him throughout eternity. We'll understand the things and mercy of God. But God has given us these things by His Spirit and by His mercy. The deep things of God that the world doesn't understand. They may laugh, they may mock, they may turn their head and walk away, but praise God, we are believers in God today by His mercy and grace. All because He hath given it unto us. And verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And if we are to know these things, and only the Spirit of God knows them, then God must give us Himself. Not just knowledge of Him, but He give us Himself. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He gives us Himself. Don't worry about being good enough to have it. It's all God's grace to begin with. You wouldn't know it, that you weren't worthy for it if God didn't give it to you to know. But He's given us these things by His grace and His mercy. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the world which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Don't get in a word war with sinners. You can't tell the sinners the things that are spiritually only spiritually discerned in the Scriptures. Tell them that there's a Savior that saves all sinners from their sins. Tell them that Christ died for them. Try to do something that God can only do Himself. Just preach the gospel. God will give the increase. Preach the gospel. God gives to whom He will. For His glory and His honor. Preach it. Preach it bold. You say, well, why preach these things today? That we might encourage each other along the way to keep going. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, you still preaching? I thought, of course, now years ago, I'd probably give them a different answer. But I had to think of it. I've never been asked that before. And I looked at the lady and I said, are there a stopping place? Yeah. She really revealed things to me. She says, well, if you're a preacher, the woods are full of them. Well, but you know what? I'm not. But God is. And I don't think God messes up. I figure God's got somewhere for His dear saints somewhere in some part of this world, in some corner of His, that needs to preach the gospel, and He sent me to them. And only through the mercy and grace of God, because it's given to me to preach. And I trust that with God that we do these things. For folks, I understand today, unless God gives it to me, I cannot. And I don't stand before you today in my feeble attempts. But all I have for you today is the Scripture. It's the Word of God. And what He's revealed to me of the Scriptures. In closing, these last three verses. Verse 14. But the nature of man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We must remember where the sinners are. If not, we'll become frustrated in our witness, in sharing Christ. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that opportunity is there. God opens that door that we share with sinners. Don't wait for them always to come in and sit on your pew. Well, when they come here, I'll let them have it. No. Go out. Go to the highways. Go to the hedges and do what? Compel them to come to church and join giving offering? No, not those things. Compel them to come in. Come into what? To the fold of Jesus Christ. Compel with all your heart, brethren. Why? Because it was given to you and God may just give to them. But you compel. You can't give it to them. But God can. Praying for your loved ones. Let me encourage you. Keep praying for them. God gave it to you. And He may just be pleased to give it to them. You have someone lost, you're burdened for, They're on your heart. Thank God for that burden. It was given to you by God. But if you have that burden, keep praying. Because maybe today, maybe tomorrow, for God's glory, He may give them His grace. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Oh, aren't you thankful man's not our judge? Oh, they want to judge you many times. But aren't you thankful that man's not our judge? And I'm going to tell you, many people would be better off, man being their judge, as wicked and deceitful as man is, than to stand before a righteous God that knows all things. Folks, it's given unto us that one stand in the gap for us on judgment day. It's been given to us by God. And when He looks at us, I thank God He's not going to look down and see my sinful nature. I thank God if when He looks down that He's not going to even see me at all. But what's He going to see? He's going to see His Son's blood when it ran down His body. He's going to see His Son as He gave up the ghost on the cross. He's going to see His Son on the third day as He ascended and come out of the grave. Seen it several and many at times, and then ascended back to the right hand of the Father. He's not going to see me, but He's going to see Jesus. I'm going to stand in His shadow on that day. Why? Because He's given me that power to become the sons of God. It's been given to us today. His grace and His mercy. For we have known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct Him. But we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ today? Because He's given it to us. We are of God today. Folks, think about that for a moment. We are of God. We have the righteousness of God because He's given it to us. The wonderful free gift of the grace and mercy of Almighty God. He's given it to us. His grace and His mercy. I want to leave three words with you if you can remember these. It is given. You think of what you have today. If you thank You for salvation, Your grace, and Your mercy, just think what Christ told the disciples there about the parables. It is given. It's given to you. It wasn't given to them, but to you, it is given. God help us today to receive His Word.